Hi, Black Hollywood Live fans. Today, we're asking the question, did Rob Kardashian break revenge porn laws when he posted pictures of Blac Chyna? We'll talk about that, the Venus Williams crash. What are you giggling about over there? And can the 25th Amendment really be used to oust Trump? We'll talk about it all. I see some nodding, shaking over there. Some enthusiasm on today's panel. Welcome to Justice is Served.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Lives. Justice is served.
All right. Happy post 4th of July. Does anybody say that? Is that a real thing?
I don't think so.
Well, it is now.
Okay. Welcome to Justice is Served on July 5th, 2017. I am excited to be back with most of the panel.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And just in case this is your first time tuning in, welcome to Justice is Served, where a panel of lawyers tell you all about their thoughts, analysis, and ideas about legal cases in the news within the past week. I guess I will introduce the panel because I feel like it's been a while. I guess I should start with myself, Chelsea Galicia. And here we have Dominique Price and Shaka Smith.
Yeah.
All right, we just need Yemi and the whole gang will be back.
I know, 4-4.
Oh,
we'll get it done.
One day soon.
We'll get it done.
All right. In the meantime, we're going to do our best without her. Shall we talk first about Rob Kardashian?
It's been blowing up all over Instagram
all over
and Twitter,
right? It's absolutely crazy.
Inescapable today.
Okay, so revenge porn laws in, like, California, at least we know. You know, the first ones came out in, like, 2013.
2003, actually, Arizona was the first state to enact.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. I did know that California, we didn't get with the picture until... Oh, get it? Get with the picture.
Yeah. I like that pun. Yeah.
Thank you. Until 2013.
Yeah. Yes. And then it was revised in 2014.
Yeah. And you said that...
So it's California Statute 255, and it pretty much stipulates that you cannot knowingly post a picture of a ex or anyone that you may have come into contact with without their consent. And in doing so knowingly could lead up to 6 months in county jail or a $1,000 fine. So I'm just wondering if Rob Kardashian knew that he was violating California law when he uploaded Blac Chyna's picture to Instagram this morning.
Well, we do know that. Well, he tweeted later that Instagram had deactivated his account.
And
to go to Twitter to get
to see the
real tea. Yeah.
Which is interesting to me because he's trying to make sure that the entire world sees this picture. But Instagram has in their policy that if you post nude pictures, Chelsea Handler has been guilty, they will immediately not only delete the picture but deactivate your account for a second because they normally think it's been done due to a hack.
But Rob
wanted you guys to know today I was not hacked.
But I've had friends that have posted pictures that have been like flagged by Instagram, and they flag the picture, not necessarily the account.
Well, and so, I think at this point you have to think about the amount of users that are now rushing to this particular account to comment, to just kind of go crazy, which I think really can throw off Instagram.
But I was wondering if it was Mama Chris and her team that may have his password and said deactivate now because we know legally.
You know how I feel about the Kardashian clan and cover-up, so we'll get to that later.
Oh, really? I don't know if I know about this.
But it certainly made me think, I wonder if Chris or some management realized, wait, this goes too far legally, and they shut down his account.
I really hope that's what happened.
Well, here's the question that I had, because I've heard, and I don't know if it's the statute that you're referencing or another one, that says that you can't post intimate parts of another person if you know that such posting will be emotionally detrimental to that person. So that's the, you know, the mens rea part, the mindset part that you need to be guilty of the crime. But in this case, Blac Chyna apparently liked the picture on Instagram, so that may go against her being upset about them, which may mean he didn't violate the law.
I think she might be able to actually show, not necessarily that she liked it, because who's going to, not that she didn't like it, but I don't think we're really going to be able to tell by her liking it what her mental state was, because it could have been her saying, I see what you're doing. Because from my understanding, they go back and forth with blocking each other.
Yeah.
And so in this case, I was like, well, I wonder if he thought that she was still blocked on his account and maybe wouldn't have seen it right away. Right. I just was trying to figure out why on earth would you post this then send people to Twitter to let them know that if they didn't see it earlier, you could see it again.
Well, I think he was, I think he was hurt. She sent him a video having sex with another man in his own house.
Well,
and the guy was wearing his robe.
I'm not saying that she didn't deserve.
Is that for real?
Yes.
I'm saying that's why he posted it.
When I tell you that, and
I thought fireworks for 4th of July were in the sky.
No. It's in the Kardashian home.
No. They said July 5th will be celebrated. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, then. I've never heard like a revenge porn defense. It's sort of like the, what's the defense where, heat of passion.
Yeah.
Like if you kill somebody in the heat of passion, your culpability drops down to like manslaughter instead of murder.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's going to be a revenge porn defense where it's like in the heat of passion.
Interestingly enough, as I was doing research, because I was really excited to talk about this today, since I knew we were going to be together, I was like, oh, perfect. This is such a new statute for California that there are very few cases that have actually gone all the way to trial under this statute. That one of the most recent ones was in San Diego involving a husband and a wife, where the wife had never really sent news. They had been married for like over 30 years, but in the course of trying to spice things up as it was going downhill, she sent him a nude picture when he was getting ready to go on a business trip. Well, she's the one who initiated the divorce. So when she filed for divorce, he said, oh, I got you. And so that's when he posted their nude photos. And so they talked a little about, because he tried to use it as a defense. Well, I was heartbroken, and this was my way of, like, you know, proving that I still loved her. And I was like, not only did he post this, he posted it on her job's Facebook page.
No.
Well, and then that's going to go to
you
the,
guys. So the judge basically said you took it to another level.
Yeah.
And he not only just got the minimum of 6 months in county, he did a year. When 36 months of probation.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but
I was just like, can I have Blac Chyna's email? Because I want to let her know, like, call your lawyer today. Like, go downtown to LA County. Yeah. I really want you guys to pursue this.
But
just for me. Please.
Yeah. I don't know. I think my prediction is he'll be in the clear. Just with the
just knowing how vindictive this relationship has been, I wouldn't be surprised if she wants to take it to that level as far as she can, because I think they genuinely like hurting each other.
I think this is that we're becoming a psychology show, which I would like to do.
Yeah, we're trying to get into the minds of these individuals.
I'm not sure if we can.
I'll leave it on this. I will say, from reading what the requirements, some of the previous cases, I do think Rob could be guilty.
But that like. But that like.
Though. That like.
That like is what made. That like is what made do it.
Oh, man. All right. Let's move on to the Venus Williams crash. Yeah. So in June 9th. She was involved in a car accident in Florida near where she lives.
Yeah.
And about 2 weeks later, one of the people in the car that actually hit her, the passenger, died of his injuries. I thought it was so sad. It was a husband and wife that were in this
elderly
car.
Elderly couple.
Yeah.
He was 78.
He died on her 68th birthday.
So sad.
And he was 78.
Yeah.
And that age is actually going to make a difference in the outcome of the case, because it depends on economic damages.
Yeah.
And somebody that's at 78 years old
probably
has already exceeded the life expectancy of a male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's going to reduce way down the amount
damages. The amount of pension, you know, then the loss of consortium, I suppose.
I see a settlement. I think from interviews that I've seen thus far, I think Venus is really kind of broken up about.
But here's the thing:
this is
probably not in Venus's hands. This is in her insurance company's hands, unless the damage exceeds the policy, and then it would come out of her pocket.
Yeah. I'm sure it will.
And it looks like there'll be criminal charges filed here. So,
well, I mean, it's a good question about the criminal charges, because the police did say in their report that she was at fault.
Yeah, for violating the right of way.
Okay, so we sat here trying to like picture together how this happened. Who was the one that ultimately came up with the plausible diagram here?
From what I can tell is that, you know, it was probably green, yellow, and then she's like, I can make it.
Yeah.
And it turns red before she could actually make it. This couple goes and hits her as a result.
From the report, because they worded very tricky, she failed to yield at a green light. Yeah. So it sounds as if it was yellow at the time, and she sped up. But it says, the report that I read said it was only 5 miles over the speed limit, which doesn't take it into the realm of it being reckless driving.
Yeah.
So I think it lowers her
liability. I thought I read she was only going 5 miles per hour.
I read over.
Okay. I thought it was 5 miles per hour.
But then
I'm like, how on earth did you total a car going 5 miles per hour?
Well, the other car would have been coming a little bit quicker.
Right. Her car wasn't...
She was T-boned.
Yeah. The other car started to go, presumably on a green.
Yeah.
And she darted in front of the car. And so the woman, she had like a cracked sternum and multiple broken bones. And the husband had internal bleeding and... And died, I guess, 2 weeks later. So I still think, I have to believe that even if her car insurance doesn't fully cover, she would have some kind of umbrella insurance policy that would then cover this. So it's very unlikely that this is going to come out of her own pocket.
Yeah, because the damages are going to be low.
But the question is, and then because it's you're dealing with an insurance company, unless it goes to trial, we're never going to find out how much the settlement is for.
True.
But what... we can wonder is whether any criminal charges will arise, because when somebody dies, prosecutors look at that when somebody is at fault for an accident.
Yeah.
And even if the accident was caused by her going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, we all remember from law school the eggshell doctrine. So it doesn't matter how delicate of a person you injure. And if they die from a paper cut that you inflicted, if you, assaulted them with a paper cut and then they died of it, you could be liable. It varies by state and all. But so people trying to say, oh, she was only going 5 miles and somebody died. There must have been something wrong with the guy, and that's not her fault.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you have to take your victim as you find them, so that's not a defense that they were an elderly couple.
But I do think they'll probably hit her with a lawsuit for wrongful death and try to get
Envy. It's already a wrongful death action.
Yeah, that's where we're at. This isn't criminal.
Yeah, so she'll have to. I don't think her insurance will cover that. She'll have to settle that one.
You hit it right on the nail. That's exactly what I was going to say. Now that it's been taken to a civil action, her insurance isn't going to cover it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. But I also kind of looking at some previous cases. Where there was a huge liability on the defendant's part, I just honestly don't foresee them winning a huge.
Yeah, I think she will settle the case, maybe $1 million, maybe less than that.
Well, I don't know. So we were talking a little bit before the show, and I brought up the R&B singer Brandy. She was in a similar situation in 2006. The case was actually settled in 2007, but this was a situation where it was extreme reckless driving, and the person was killed. And she settled for $300K. So I honestly think, and that person was way younger than what we have here. So kind of just going off of a similar situation, I think it could potentially be less.
I think for...
And Brandy actually was charged with criminal charges on that one.
There's not going to be criminal charges
because
her crime is violating the right of way. That's not really something that gives rise to...
There was no drinking involved.
They said there was no texting or anything like that.
There was nothing like that. And I even brought up the fact that Caitlyn Jenner was charged with a wrongful death action in 2016 that was later dismissed, even when actually found guilty for what they consider to be extreme unsafe driving speeds for the conditions. Because if we all don't know, Caitlyn Jenner lives in Malibu on a very windy road. And they said for the weather conditions and the time of day it was extremely unsafe. But that was mysteriously dismissed, which gets me back to my whole Kardashian theory.
All right. I'm not sure we get to hear all about that today.
Not today.
Yeah. Because I do want to talk about this really interesting case that comes out of a Cleveland High School in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Totally confused. I had to read it like 3 times.
It was a little confusing. Okay, so the deal with this story is that a black girl was named valedictorian, but she had to have a co-valedictorian who happened to be a white girl.
Yeah.
And in the history, the 110-year history of this school, all 109 valedictorians preceding this were all white. Yeah. And then this year, both a black and a white girl were given the honor of being... I've never heard of co-valedictorian ever.
I went to a school where... the level of just academic achievement was so great that we would have like 5, 10. I went to my nephew's graduation last week, and he had, I think there were 13.
Really?
And
so they did. Wait, 13 valedictorians?
Yeah, so they did like a round. Level? And when I tell you guys, these, they were down to the decimal, same exact.
At high school level?
Yeah, GPA.
Wow, because. Yep. Well, at least in Florida, they started going, like, further down the GPA, like, to 3 digits and, mm-hmm. like, going down more digits to make sure they were distinguishing between how many people. That's crazy.
So the mother, Sherry Shepherd, mm-hmm. no relation to the woman who used
Which
to be on
really
The View,
yeah.
filed this lawsuit on behalf of her daughter. The claim is for discrimination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds valid. But then,
the,
you know,
the damage
that she's like, it caused emotion or mental anguish, embarrassment, loss of opportunities.
Well,
pain
well
and
I
suffering.
did understand the loss
of opportunity,
opportunity
yeah.
because when you're applying to go to college, you lower your actual ranking if you're not the single valedictorian. And I literally learned this because our school has so many valedictorians. It's
Which
considered
school is that?
When I was in high school, we had a lot of valedictorians. So a friend of mine was valedictorian. We talked about how college admission goes. When there are multiple valedictorians, you are kind of bumped down a notch as like not being that academically prestige.
But I still, you're still putting valedictorian on your application.
Yeah. But I get where her mom was coming from on that. I think a lot of the other claims were extremely like bolstered.
If anything, the other claims were a little bit more, you know, intentional or infliction of emotional stress. To me, that would cause distress that someone would be named co-valedictorian.
Well, but here's the thing. Yeah. CNN did an interview of the co-valedictorians last year on a different story.
Yeah.
Something that I think we covered here, where the state of Mississippi had been battling
desegregation
for like 50-some-odd years,
yeah.
a lawsuit that mm-hmm. had claimed that they were still discriminating, segregating schools,
yeah.
and the state lost that case mm-hmm. and had to desegregate.
Yeah. And this is last year, guys.
Yeah,
last year.
Guys, I need you to understand that this last year. Just happened yeah. last year.
So
like late last year.
Yeah.
So CNN interviewed these two girls about the fact that Mississippi schools had just been desegregated. And what was the girl's name? Their mother's name is Sherry. And Jasmine, I believe it was. You see her seeming to be happy and okay with, I mean, I don't know, you're seeing like a 10-minute clip on CNN of her with her co-valedictorian. At least at that point, it didn't seem that there was any feeling of having been, I don't know, ripped off or treated unfairly, or maybe she was just being positive because, ooh, I get to be on CNN.
Yeah, that won't help, obviously, her case.
Right, it won't help her case at all. And I think where I got confused was in reading the report, it seemed as if the school is saying that they have the exact same GPA, but the mother is asserting that the other young woman had a lower GPA. And if you go back to the school's policy, it says that there would only be valedictorians if they had the exact same score.
So that's,
or a GPA, I should say. So my question is, unless Sherry has gotten a copy of this girl's transcript, how do you know exactly what to the decimal her GPA was?
I think she must know, because there's no way to assert this without having some actual knowledge. So I think
I'm
discovery
like,
will be interesting.
On the graduation or program.
Well, it may have been they shared with each other each GPAs, and she was surprised to learn, wait, yours is slightly lower than mine.
Right, right. And then maybe that's why she was okay with it on CNN, because she thought that they had the exact same GPA, and maybe through the course of this year she found out, yours is a little bit lower
than
mine.
Maybe they just
mine.
Talked and
why
figured
are we
it
sharing?
Out. Yeah.
Could be. We don't know.
And it could also be the case that her GPA didn't lower until after it's locked in that you're
second
valid.
Second semester.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting on Discovery to figure out exactly what took place here.
And I think it doesn't help that this particular area has already had very high racial tensions in their school district.
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of helps her case to show, like, you guys just didn't want this black
girl
seems
to
odd, have this
right. That the first time there is one, it does seem a little odd.
And it's very interesting that she also stated that since filing the claim, they've had extreme, like, hate mail come to their home and drive-bys.
Facebook.
And I was just like...
Yeah.
People.
Mississippi,
people.
Do better.
Mississippi, do better. I think that's a good one. All right. Well, some people think we can do better with a different president. Although I don't really, well, the different president that these people have in mind would be the vice president,
we'll take
Mike
him.
Pence.
I'll take him.
Ooh, God, I don't know about
no,
that.
No, I will fervently go ahead and say I'll take him.
The play for that would be to invoke the 25th Amendment,
yeah,
which is the amendment that says, you know, if something happens to the president, the vice president takes over and yada, yada. But the fourth section of the 25th Amendment has caused a couple, I don't even know if it's a couple, maybe about a dozen Democrats to really take a look at this section and move for a bill that would provide for a body of Congress, yeah, who would then, I guess, somehow test, I don't know,
the president's mental capacity.
Yeah,
so
fitness.
We know that the 25th Amendment was put in place after President Kennedy's shooting, mainly to have an efficient transfer of power, so the president being incapacitated.
Yeah.
And it's been used a couple of times. I believe it was used with George W. Bush when he had a colonoscopy.
It was used with Reagan when he had
When he was shot.
Cancer.
Oh, yeah. Was it used when he was shot as well?
No, I mean, probably so, but I think before then he had a tumor or something removed.
Yeah, and then George W. Bush recently, which I didn't realize, they used it for when he had a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we know it's always been for physical incapacitation.
Right, right, right.
It's never really been mental.
So then I thought it was really interesting because I'm like, we all understand that Trump is a little outspoken and some of his ways for doing business is not what a normal person would do. But in being able to prove that there's a diminishment in his mental capacity, you'd have to be able to prove that he either has dementia, he has a severe learning disability, there's been a brain injury, there's a mental health condition, or he's undergone a stroke.
What's that mental health condition?
I think they're going for the mental health condition, but the interesting part is that I literally just watched a documentary the other day that kind of outlined Trump and his play for the office all the way back to 98. Nothing that Trump is doing right now is out of the ordinary for Trump. So you'd really have to show that he's already an outrageous man. So I just I don't know that they're really going to be able to be
crazy all along.
No. But that's the thing. I feel like he's been crazy all his life.
Well, no, but it's not measured against your own craziness. You know, if you've been a sociopath,
but it technically is.
Well, no. Because if you've been a sociopath, then no one realizes. And then clinically they go, oh, you're a sociopath.
But if you're a clinical sociopath that the American people have decided.
Still a mental health condition.
They're okay with you running the country.
No. It's still a mental health condition that would qualify.
We didn't know.
It would still be a mental health condition that would qualify you under incapacity.
Right, but what I'm saying is that it's going to be really, really hard to prove that it's a mental health condition.
I don't think so, because remember, it's going to be a panel of psychiatrists and doctors, so it's not like just laymen. And I would think, well, in Trump's case, not sociopathy, but maybe narcissism would be where it would go to.
I wonder if that
and there are clinical
can get to a point where you are.
But narcissism isn't an actual mental health condition.
There's a what?
It's not considered a mental health
clinical
condition
narcissism?
Under the. It's so. Let me back up for a second.
It was actually removed.
When was it removed? 10, 15 years ago, they enacted what they consider the Mental Capacity Act, which really describes what you need, what your conditions are.
Yeah.
To be considered to be
incapacitated
for mental condition.
Yeah.
Narcissism was removed.
Oh, once you remove that, then
so
you
that's
forget
why I was
about,
like,
oh,
you have to.
About it.
There's so many other things that you probably
that was a good
could
one.
Classify him under,
yeah.
But it for it to be a condition where they would say he really is impaired and cannot do his job.
Well, but when
I think it's tough.
There are signs of, you know, irrationality and all sorts of stuff that maybe we as pop psychologists, right? Armchair psychologists, right? Are thinking, you know, there's something perhaps more complex going on than just narcissism. Because it could be narcissism
It's 100% narcissism where it's like he won't listen to anyone. Like even with the Twitter stuff, like they tell him don't do it, he says I'm going to do it. It's definitely narcissism unless it's dementia. But again, he's always been this way, so I don't think he's been suffering from
dementia.
So let's just say we got over the hurdle and we got him declared mentally incapacitated. It still has to go for votes
2/3,
in both
yeah.
the House and the Senate. And then the vice president has to go along with it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a feat.
Well, if he decides to attack North Korea unilaterally, we're gonna see this ramp up.
Oh,
maybe.
For sure.
Let's get this committee on board real quick.
If he goes that route,
but you know, I think it speaks to the changing times and the kind of the nature of Trump, because even on Twitter, North Korea has the missile. He says does this guy have nothing better to do? And it's kind of weird to be taunting the North Korean leader through Twitter. And so already that's going to, and then obviously the video this past weekend of the wrestling video at CNN. So I do think this might have some legs in terms of if this behavior continues, them starting this committee. What the outcome will be difficult, but I think you'll hear the calls, even bilateral, bipartisan calls, getting growing louder and louder if it continues.
Yeah, I think you're right. At this point,
it's a little premature.
What were you calling it? You were like, the reach is real.
It is.
But like, after that CNN video, you know, just viscerally, I was like, I can't believe this is must be a parody account. But
not so much.
It is his.
Yeah. Retweeted on the official POTUS account.
Which is just like...
The National Archives. It's now going to be national. It's in the archives
daily
now.
I'm just like, am I still being punked? Like,
I do, for some reason, I feel like somehow, some way, like this, we will all awake from this nightmare.
You guys, it's not even a full year one yet.
I think this whole thing convinced me we're not in the primary universe. We're one of those offshoots. You know, when you think you're in the right, you know? No, we are one of the permutations.
Well, so. This is another story that has me thinking that. You know, there has been this concern by some Republicans that there is voter fraud.
Yes.
Election fraud.
Well,
election fraud.
I think it's totally possible.
You know, Trump said that there were millions of people who illegally voted for Hillary Clinton, and so they put together this election integrity committee commission. Right. Mm-hmm. The head of it, or the vice chair of it, is Kris Kobach, who is Secretary of State in Kansas, who is a firm believer that there are voting problems when all the studies that I'm aware of show that it is not actually a problem.
Yeah.
So they recently put out a request to all the states to turn over their voter rolls, their information, including sensitive information like the last four digits of our Social Security number,
birthday, to what party you're registered with. I mean, for that to be coming from the administration is a little bizarre.
So people are freaking the F out about this because this information would be published by the commission.
Yeah.
So we know that if they get it, I mean, all the information is going up. So states are declining one by one. At first it was like a dozen, and then I heard it's up to now 45 states.
45, yeah.
That some of them haven't outright said we're not going to cooperate at all, but 45 have said that there are parts of it that we're not going to cooperate with.
Yeah.
Kris Kobach's defending it, saying it's fake news that we've asked for anything that the federal government is not already entitled to or able to get because this is public information. I think he's wrong. And I think people will maybe hopefully be like, oh, shoot. I mean, this president wants a registry that I heard on the radio on the way over here is somewhat similar to a registry idea a few years ago of gun owners. And gun owners freaked out then. We don't want the government knowing
tracking
all about us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we can do a good enough job of showing the parallels, you guys didn't want a gun registry.
Yeah.
Why should we have a voter registry? Yeah. Some people might say, well, we have a voter problem, but we don't. And the ways that Kris Kobach, wants to cross-check this information is not going to work, and what's going to do is going to throw people off the voter rolls that deserve to be on there.
Yeah, and it's certainly going to make people less hesitant to register to vote.
Right, which I really think is their aim.
Which tends to benefit Republicans.
Yeah.
But what's worse is Kobach has been using this as a selling point
for
his election.
He wants to become the governor.
Yeah, and so he's been touting this work on the committee, which we know violates the Hatch Act of ethics, to do this.
Yeah, there was a question about whether it does. Some people say it does. Other people are like,
some people say it doesn't.
Not really.
I mean, it's almost with Kellyanne Conway's situation, that pure promotion of this governmental job in order to win an election. It seems almost, completely
it's in poor taste. But
and that's the thing. I feel like it's more of a poor taste thing than completely being...
Certainly
a
violation to me when you look at the website touting all the website has nothing to do with what you might
do.
For the,
it's absolutely horrible, but it's like...
I think it's an ethical violation, clear. I'm like, that's absolutely...
I don't disagree. I think I'm on the fence of like, I think it's a little unethical, but more so I feel like it's bad taste. I just feel like he should know better, which to me, I feel like he's shooting himself in the foot because I'm hoping that the great voters of Kansas are looking at this and like, I would not want him, like, he's a mini Trump. I would not want him running, you know,
this state. So the state of Kansas is in dire straits already.
Right? They don't need this perpetrated, so, but who knows?
Okay, so a similar thing is going on over at Facebook, that the government wants information from Facebook about protesters.
Yeah. Which was really interesting because it really reminded me of the case with Apple.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. When Apple refused to
Apple refused to disclose the code or a break-in way
for the terrorists.
For actual terrorists. Yeah. So I was like, well, if they were able to not provide that information, I agree that Facebook shouldn't have to either.
But I think Facebook also stems with the disclosure. Because, so the government not only wanted to get some information from a particular account surrounding the inauguration, they also got a gag order so that they would not be able to disclose to those users that they were taking information from their account. And that is really the scary
part
of it all.
That's the part that Facebook said, if you want to get a warrant for their information, that's fine, but you got to tell them and give them the opportunity to do something, block it or to respond.
Interestingly enough, I thought this was really interesting because I won't name names, but I've worked in a situation where we had to provide information for a customer and we were given a gag order not to make them aware, but it was because if they would have been aware, it was a situation where they were planning a attack on an elementary school. Okay. And so in cases like that, they're more willing to not tell the customer, which I thought was interesting. But in situations like what we're dealing with Facebook, they typically want you to be able to release the information to the consumer.
This is a potentially First Amendment violation because you have the right to speak out and speak out anonymously.
Yeah. Right.
And I believe the government was even upset with Facebook for putting out, they put out some sort of general disclosure.
Oh, yeah. They put but to a group.
Yeah, to a general disclosure saying that, I guess.
To a particular group, like someone within your group, information has been requested. And so that kind of, I feel like that was too close to home. It would have been different if it would have went out to all Facebook users. But I don't know how, it didn't say how large the group size was. But I'm like, if it's a group of 15 people,
and Facebook
that's
said,
easy to figure
and
out
Facebook
like,
said
who
the
it
group,
was.
The group already knew or that information was public that they were being looked into. So, it's just deleterious when the government's also asking for that person not to know that you're looking into their account.
Right, and I hate when the government makes that argument, well, don't you guys all want to be protected? And I'm like, well, yeah, but is there a way to protect us without, like, encroaching on our privacy at the same time?
Yeah, therein lies the great question. Yeah.
And because of the secretive nature of the case, we don't actually know exactly what it's about. We have an idea it's about some protests around the inauguration, but we don't know exactly what it's about because Facebook wasn't able to disclose any further information regarding this. So.
Right.
It feels like there's an onslaught of people trying to take, you know, grab information.
Private information.
To either sell it, like our the phone companies are now able to do, or people are getting information from Facebook and who knows how all
I have
this
thought
can be used.
Yeah. That wouldn't life be a lot easier if there was a way to allow all of your information to just be out there, but there be no identity theft?
Well, you let me know
like,
how that
I'm in this flux of just like, everybody wants my information.
Yeah.
And it's hard to like put a grasp on like making sure that it doesn't slip out of your fingers. Like I was having a conversation with my dad and he refuses to do bill pay online because he's afraid of identity theft. And I'm like, well, there's still so many other ways that people can get your information.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. How do you have your identity stolen from Bill Pay?
Well, I guess if they were to hack,
In his mind, he thinks that
system,
that is a thing.
Yeah.
Oh. I think Target has really screwed him up. He thinks that anybody could just get your information, so he still is like super old school about it. But I was trying to explain to him, I was like, there are a lot of different ways that people can grab your identity, and it doesn't help that almost every platform that you use has a little piece of the personal information. So it's like, if I take the little piece that you gave to Facebook, if I take the little piece that you gave to Apple, the little piece that you gave AT&T, and I put it together, I have your identity.
Yeah, I have the complete picture.
Oof. It's scary.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, if they just had all the information already.
And somehow, but somehow
but
that
somehow,
could not
like,
be used
can we go to,
like,
a thumbprint system? Like, to seriously, like, if they just had all the information, but to really access accounts and stuff.
Eye scans everywhere.
Through, like, eye scans or, you know, through your thumbprint, would it, like,
voice
help?
Recognition?
But then it might, crimes of, like, theft of eyeballs might go up.
Okay, how about, figure out a solution for the future.
You need thumb, eyes, and voice.
I like the combo.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
There's going to be a gun to your head somewhere. But yeah. I like the combo.
Hand over your thumb. I don't know. All right. We're delirious from post, you know, 4th of July. I don't know.
That was good antics.
Okay. Well, did we get to this all? I think so.
We did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, thank you so much for joining us. And in the meantime, like, comment, tweet me at Chelsea Galicia.
And you can find me at Dominique P underscore ESQ.
Yes, that's your name. You guys can find me at Shaka Strong, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
Yeah, in fact, we prefer that you contact Shaka. Yes. He's our PR person.
All right. He's that way.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.